Amen. You know, the doctrine of deacon is often misunderstood in many churches. When you hear that word deacon, it may conjure up images based upon your past experiences or the churches that you've been a part of. If I were to ask you today, what is a deacon and what are they supposed to do? I would likely get all kinds of different answers. Some would say that the deacons are the ruling body of the church. And some churches, that may be true. Some might say that the deacons are the pastor police. Amen. He answers to them, and if the pastor steps out of line, then watch out. Pastor's going to come get them. And listen, in some churches, that may be true. Some may say that deacons handle the authority and the discipline. If you got out of line, watch out. Here come the deacons. Amen. And in some churches, that may be true. But today, I want to reiterate for you what the Bible says about the deacons that you elected May the 25th. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. And I'm going to be sharing today a different message from the same passage of Scripture that I used on May the 25th. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. The physician has written the book of Acts, and here's what he says in chapter 6, verse 1. Now, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplying, you see, that's why there are more need, the need for more deacons is because the number of disciples is multiplying here. There arose a complaint, though, against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, and it didn't have anything to do with air conditioning or the color of the carpet. Amen. The complaint was that they're neglected in the daily distribution of food and other needs. Then the 12 apostles summoned the multitude of disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed for them, they laid their hands on them. Then, notice what happened then. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And even a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now that word, deacon, is a heavy word. It's a heavy word that generally means servant. Servant. So I guess in that sense, we're all deacons. Amen? I heard one. Amen. We are all deacons, right? We're in that sense of the word. You see, this message is not just for Dustin and Lucas and Chris. This message is for the whole church. I want to show you today 3 types of servants that we find in the church. And the first type of Bible servant that we find in the church is one we're all called to be. And that is a general servant. There are hundreds of Bible verses that use some form of the original Bible word for deacon. That word in the Greek language is diakonos. Diakonos. But most of the time, diakonos is translated into the word servant. servant. And listen, the following verses all contain some form of that word for servant, diakonos. John 2, chapter 5. In the wedding at Cana, Jesus' first miracle, the mother of Jesus called upon the servants and said, whatever he says to you, whatever Jesus says to you, do it. Diakonos. In John 12, 2, before the raising of Lazarus, John said, and they all made Jesus a supper, and Martha served. Diakonos. In Luke 4, 39, he, Jesus, stood over Peter's mother-in-law and rebuked her fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and served them. Diakonos. All of these verses are about general servitude amongst the people of God. But now I want you to see what Jesus did to that word servant. In John 12, 26, Jesus said, if any man serves me, diakonos, let him follow me. You see the connection? You can't serve him unless you follow him. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If any man serves me, him my Father will honor. So now we're changing gears a little bit here. But Jesus is still talking about general servitude amongst the people of God. And can I tell you this? If you've been saved by the grace of God, if you've been saved through faith in Jesus Christ, we're all deacons in that sense of the word. Because we're all supposed to be servants of the Lord. There ain't a single one of us here that's been saved to sit. Every one of us are saved to serve. And it's your job to find out where. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're all deacons. Not in the official sense of the word, but in the general sense. Now, there's another sense of that word, another category of servants, if you will, and that is gifted servants. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul wrote about this gift, the spiritual gift of serving. In verse 5, in Romans chapter 5, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 12, verse 5, the Bible says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually we're members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If you've been given a gift, you better use it. I remember asking, when I was a young Christian, asking my pastor, if I don't use my gift, will I lose it? Can I tell you that God's going to have somebody do your job if you refuse to do it? He wants you to use the gift he's given you, right? Let us use them. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If it's serving, let us use it in our serving. If it's in teaching, use it in teaching. He who encourages, in encouragement. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. And he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. See, many here at this church family have the gift of serving. They're not only general servants like we all are. No, they're also gifted servants. They don't have to be the leader. They just love to serve. They love to serve people. And oftentimes, it's behind the scenes with zero recognition. They just love to serve people. Here are some characteristics of a gifted servant. First of all, these gifted servants are alert and aware to very practical needs. They see what needs to be done, and they do it most times without even being asked. You won't even know it needs to be done because they're already doing it. They also see the dishes, and they just wash them. When other people walk by them, they just wash them. They see the trash, and they just pick it up. They see the trash bin is full, and they bag it up and take it out. And you don't even know that it needed to be taken out yet. They just have that gift to be aware of practical needs. But they are also motivated to meet those needs quickly. They don't dilly-dally around. Gifted servants typically cannot stand delays. They're the most impatient people you know. They hate delays. They don't like to form a committee, and then they want to plan it out, and then they want to talk about it. Then they want to talk about it a little bit more, and then they want to talk about it some more. No, they just want to get it done. Why? Because they have the gift of serving. Chop, chop. They want to get it done. But they also meet needs despite their personal weariness. Even after the stresses of a long day at work, these gifted servants do their thing. It's crazy to watch. I love watching them. They do their thing by visiting the sick after a full day's work, coming here and hedging the bushes after a full day's work, ministering to the kids after a full day's work. It's incredible to see these gifted servants meeting needs even when they're exhausted. But finally, they also complete a job once they get it started. When other people are ready to bail out and call it a day, these gifted servants say, hey, where are you going? Just a little bit more and we'll be done with this thing. Let's just stick around and finish it, right? So we have the general servants, that's all of us. But then we have these gifted servants, which are general servants who have the spiritual gift of serving. And then there's a third group. There's a third group that come into this office of deacon. Deacon group number one is what we're all called to be, servants. Deacon group number two is servants at another level using their spiritual gift. But then there's this group three. This group three, but has the meaning changed behind deacon? Just because we have another group? Do they now suddenly rule the church or become the pastor police? Or are they still just servants? They're still servants. But listen, they're servants not at the general level, not only at the gifted level, they're servants at a whole nother level now. It's a whole nother level. It's a higher level. So why do we need a third group of servants when we got the other two? Well, this third group is called to be an example of what servanthood looks like to the whole church. These are called to be model servants. Model servants. You see, God is really big on the idea of his children being an example. Think about it. Parents teach their children best by example. Older women teach younger women best by example. Paul told Timothy to be a pastor who is an example to the flock. We win the lost by being an example of how Jesus changes lives. An example. And those holding this office of deacon, if you will, are called to be an example, but in every single way you can imagine. In every way that the Christian can be an example, the deacon is called to be one. Anyone who attends here at Bethel should be able to look at one of our deacons and say, oh, that's how it's supposed to be. Oh, that's how you tithe. Oh, I see now, that's how you're supposed to serve. Oh, I see now, that's how you're supposed to worship. For example, if a deacon is a teacher, he is obligated to be a model teacher. not necessarily in terms of talent, but he's obligated to be a model teacher in character, in faithfulness, in preparedness, in attitude, and in enthusiasm. He's obligated to be that and to do that. See, the deacon is compelled, driven, if you will, compelled to be a Christian above reproach in every way. The deacon is called to be a Christian that is going to be a model for everyone to follow. And deacon wives, your husbands are deacons because you allow them to be. That's right, I said it. The Bible says that your husbands aren't qualified to be a deacon if he can't lead his own household. He ain't qualified to be a deacon if he don't lead those who are under his own household. So too, are their wives to be example to all the other ladies in the church? Examples of service, examples of submission, examples of faithfulness. Do you see now why this is a very high and holy calling? Young couples ought to be able to look at the marriages of Dustin and Blonde Brandy. If you didn't know, that's how you know them apart. They should be able to look at the example of Natalie and Lucas and look at the example of Chris and Brown Brandy and say, that's how you have a Christian marriage. Oh, I get it. That's how a husband treats his wife. Oh, I see now. That's how you love your wife the way Jesus loves the church. That's how you do it. Because they're being model servants. See, every one of us should be able to look at the Putmans. We should be able to look at the Blankenships. We should be able to look at both Phillipses and the McGees. And we should be able to say, aha! That's how you be faithful. Aha! That's how you have a good spirit about you. That's how you maintain a good testimony. Deacons, there's a charge for you in this message today. You are being called upon not to be perfect. You'll never land that ship, amen? You're not called to be perfect. But you are called to strive to be the models. What kind of model? A model servant. And because this is such an awesome, often overwhelming responsibility, the Bible calls us as a church family to pray for you and to actually lay hands upon you. This is not just for show. No, this is a biblical practice that's been going on since the very beginning of God's people. So with that being said, I'm going to ask the Phillipses both and the McGees to come forward with their wives. And we're going to just have them to have a seat in these chairs. And I'm going to put Dustin in the middle right here in front of the stand. That's an inside joke. Wives, if you would just stand behind your husbands as they have a seat. And y'all, I want to explain to you a little bit about this laying on of hands, right? Because it's not something we're used to. Back in Numbers chapter 8, the Bible says when you bring the Levites before the Lord, the people of Israel, God's people, shall lay their hands on the Levites, and Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord as a wave offering from the people that they may do the service of the Lord. That they may do the service of the Lord. So throughout Scripture, we find that laying on of hands happens in many different ways. But here, laying on of hands is occurring when God claimed the tribe of Levi as his own. As his own. So God instructed Moses to to have the Levites to purify themselves, then gather together outside the tabernacle with the rest of the church. Then the people were to lay their hands on these Levites as an offering of, listen to this, of dedication to the Lord. That's what you're going to be doing today. That's what we're doing today, is we're dedicating these guys to the Lord, to do the service of the Lord. That's Old Testament. Now it's also reflected in the New Testament in Acts chapter 6, where the apostles, the 12 original apostles of Jesus Christ, laid their hands on those seven that were chosen. Why? To help him serve his church. And that's why we do what we do today. 1 Timothy 5:22 and Hebrews 6:2 also speaks of the laying on of hands, again dedicating a person to the service of the Lord. Y'all, there's nothing magical about this. There is no conferring of some special gift when we lay hands on these men. No, it's a recognition of God's calling on their life as model servants. Dustin and Lucas and Chris, today we are asking God for three primary things for you. We are asking God to fill you with wisdom. Fill you with wisdom so that you can be more capable in helping to lead this church. In Deuteronomy 34:9, we find that Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon them. But we're also asking God to fill you with the Holy Spirit as never before. In Acts 19:6, when Paul laid hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. We're also asking God to fill you with spiritual gifts for this ministry of serving. In 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul said to Timothy, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, given to you by the laying on of hands." Wives, as you stand behind your husbands, I want you to pray with us too, okay? I want to invite also, if there are any ordained ministers or deacons, you are invited to come and participate in us laying hands and praying over these. Please do not be shy. If you've been ordained as a deacon or minister, please come forward now with Brother Kevin and Brother Howe. Amen. Are there any others? Please don't be shy. We encourage you to come. All right. Church, as you witness what we're doing today, you don't necessarily need to bow, because I want you to watch. And I want you to pray in your heart of hearts for what God is going to do, both in and through these men. Okay? I want to pray for these men together real quickly, and then we're going to pray individually and lay hands on each one, okay? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, these men are already deacons in the sense that they are servants. However, Lord, it is our desire that we want to officially confirm them and dedicate them to the task of being model servants for your glory. Lord, they already have wisdom, but they need more. They don't need manly wisdom, they need godly wisdom. Lord, we pray that they would have the Spirit. They already have the Spirit, but they need more of the Spirit. Lord, they already have spiritual gifts. But Lord, we pray that you would give them more in Jesus' name. Brothers, understanding that you are to be model servants for your church family, it is our privilege and our honor and our blessing to confirm you, to dedicate you, and to ordain you into this office of deacon. Now we'd like to lay hands on you and pray for each one of you together, okay? Brother Howe, you got Lucas, don't you?
Lord Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord. Lord, for this group of men, Lord, that they come before you, Lord, to be an honor, to be a serve, Lord, to be a presence to you. This morning, Lucas McGee, Lord, we pray that you be with him, his family, Natalie, Cooper, and Kate. Touch them in your mighty way, that just to bring them the wisdom, Lord, that they'll continue to have the heart for you. Lord, and use them, Lord, just, Lord, give them the wisdom of Solomon, Lord, the patience of Job, the zeal of Paul, Lord. I pray that you just be with him, touch him, Lord, just lead. And use us as a church, Lord, to help them lead, Lord, to be there for them, Lord. Just, Lord, just not only in word, Lord, just to, that we pray for them. Pray that you continue to be with them. Lead them and guide them, Lord. Just go before them. Be with us as a church, Lord, as they try to be example, Lord. But it's up to us, Lord, to lift them up. Lord, to be there for them, Lord, for when the nights get dark. Lord, for when the days are just not so great, Lord, I pray that you just use us, Lord, for them. And likewise, Lord, that they can be that light in the dark room. Lord, so go before us this morning, Lord. I pray that you just be with them as a family, Lord. Lord, I know they love you, and I know that they want to be an example, Lord. But, Lord, that we just, Lord, just lift them up, Lord, especially. Lord, that they can be more about you. Cooper K, Lord, just lead us. Lead them, Lord, as we strive for you. In Christ's name.
Dustin, it's my privilege to pray for you. And I want to share one of the verses of Scripture that give me the most encouragement. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Do you love God? And are you called according to His purpose? And God says everything's going to be okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for this family. Lord, we just thank you for Randy, Lucas, and Levi. Lord, we just ask you to bless this whole family and just put your hedge around them, Lord, as only you can. Lord, we ask you to just help them to serve, and to no matter what comes against them, Lord, we just ask you to just keep the faith. Lord, just keep pressing on doing what they're doing and just loving you and serving you. To God, give you the praise for it. Thank you, Lord, for their families, what they mean to all of us, what they've meant to this church. Lord, we just ask your blessings upon each one of them. Lord, as we go and we grow, and no matter what happens, Lord, we just ask you to help them to always lead in your vein, in exactly the way you would want us to do, Lord. Thank you for bringing them as in being deacons with this group. Lord, just thank you for this group of men. We'll give you the praise for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Chris, I want to share a passage of Scripture that was read to me when I was ordained. And it comes from the book of Romans, in Romans 12 and verse 9. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor and preference, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Brother, I want to pray for you. Father God, I praise you and I thank you so much for Chris, for Lucas, and for Dustin. And Father, it's my honor to pray for Chris and Brandy, for Olivia and Rhett. Lord, to ask you to use this family, to use this man as a supernatural powerhouse in your capable hand. And Father, I ask in Jesus' name that as you use these men to help us to lead the church to further growth, that great and mighty things are going to occur. Things that we can't begin to fathom or imagine. Things that we could never see, that never hear, that never have entered into the heart of those who love God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would use Chris, that you would bless Chris. And Lord, in those discouraging times, Father, you would encourage him and remind him that, Lord, he is your servant first. He is Brandy's servant second, and then he's the church's servant after that. Father, I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for what you have done, what you are doing, and Lord, what you're going to do in the lives of all these men. But Father, we count it a privilege, an honor, and a blessing, Father, for them to be a part of the leadership team here at Bethel. And Lord, we are looking forward to what you're going to do in our midst, to many more coming to faith in Christ Jesus, Lord, to many more coming and believing in the grace of God that comes through Christ, and Father, overpopulating the kingdom of heaven. Father, I pray that you continue to use them all for your glory in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen and amen. Guys, I'm going to ask you guys to come on to the front here. And now, as the Old Testament did, you're going to be invited. During this invitation time, praise team, you might want to go ahead and come on forward. But during this invitation, I want you, if you're led, to come and lay a hand on these men. And to come and just say a breath prayer. Y'all know what a breath prayer is? A breath prayer is just, Lord, bless them and use them in Jesus' name. Come and give them that prayer. Lay your hand on their shoulder and let them know that you're supporting them, that you're going to encourage them. But not only that, not only for these men and their wives, but also you coming and giving thanks for their willingness. Because that was the first step, is they had to be willing to do this, and they are. But also in coming and submitting yourself as a servant. Maybe it's time for you to come and say, you know what? I've lived myself for myself long enough. I'm ready to be a servant for Jesus Christ now. Maybe that's what Jesus is speaking to you. If that is, you use this invitation time, this decision time for God's glory, for you to come and submit yourself as a servant. But also, if you got a burden you're tired of carrying yourself, a burden that you had no business carrying by your own, you can come and we'll pray for you and we'll help you to lay that burden at the foot of the cross and for you to find comfort and for you to find peace even in the midst of a trying time, okay? I'm going to pray and then we're all going to stand and sing and you come and lay hands on these men, and if you've got something you didn't take care of, you come and we'll pray, okay? Let's pray together. Please stand. Father in heaven, we rejoice and we thank you, Lord, for this incredible service, Father. Not only in the baptism, celebrating the baptism of these young people and their faith in Jesus Christ, but Lord, also these men taking the deliberate step to go to the next higher level of servitude. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd use them mightily. And Father, as we all come as a church family to lay hands on these men, to lay hands on their wives, Father, to bless them and encourage them, watch over them, Lord, I pray that they are lifted up and that, Lord, they are supplied with all the supernatural energy to do what we're calling them to do. Lord, we're looking forward to the model servitude that they're going to show for our church family. And Lord, we're looking forward to the growth that's going to occur as a result of what you do in and through them. But Father, for that one today who is recognizing that you want them to be a servant for your kingdom, Lord, would you speak to them even the second? Lord, urge them to come forward and just give their lives to Christ. That's the first step. Lord, for that one that's been carrying a burden that's much, much too heavy, Lord, encourage them to bring that forward. And Lord, let's pray about that. Lord, let them be encouraged in the prayers. And Father, we're going to give you praise for what you might do in and through this decision time. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we pray it. And all God's people said, amen. Let's sing together.